Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
Thanks to Vodafone Business. With cybersecurity solutions from Vodafone, your business can hack off the hackers. See vodafone.ie/business.
This is News Talk.
Yeah, you are very welcome along. Coming up over the next hour, we'll look back at the top tech of 2024. John Riley is going to join me for our non-existent awards ceremony. We will crown the best phone, the best console, and the best surprise in the world of tech. And later in the programme, I'll answer your tech questions. If you want to get in touch, you can do so right now. Email me techtalk@newstalk.com, or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. And I have to say, my dear friends, I am buzzing because we are almost at Christmas time. I am working right up until Christmas Eve. I'll tell you what I'm doing on Christmas Eve a little bit later. But I am very, very excited. Once 2 o'clock on Christmas Eve comes, I am shutting all devices down. I am going to shut my brain down and I'm going to do nothing but eat cheese and a little beverage for the foreseeable, and I cannot wait. I'm genuinely so excited. I've always been a Christmassy person, and I think because this year has been a long year in many ways, I am absolutely buzzing for it. I would love to know, aside from technology, what have been your highlights of the year? For me personally, it was we managed to, and we are very, very fortunate, we managed to buy a house this year. And last Christmas wasn't a great Christmas because we knew that we had to move out of our apartment and we're struggling, desperately struggling to buy a house. This year, as I said, thankfully, we are incredibly lucky and incredibly grateful that we were able to buy a house. So that has definitely been the highlight of my year. But I would love to know from your side of things, what was the best thing that happened to you this year? Email me techtalk@newstalk.com. Later in the show, as I said, we will answer some of your questions. I'm also going to bring you some of my other favourites. So we're going to talk about tech now, but later in the show, I'll bring you my favourite TV shows, favourite podcasts and favourite books, because Goodreads did their version of Spotify's Wrapped. So Cullen Buig was with me a few weeks ago talking about Spotify Wrapped. Well, Goodreads did Goodreads Wrapped, and it gave me my full report of the books that I read this year. So I'll talk you through some of those. But we are going to start with our longtime friend, John Riley of TheEffect.net. John, you are here. You are in studio. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm great. Yeah, it's been a while since you've been in, and it's very exciting to see people in the flesh.
Yeah, we do Skype a lot, but it's good to get. I was passing by, so I said I'd call in.
What a Christmas treat. God bless us, everyone. But we usually kick off the year with you and we sort of preview what's coming down the tracks. But I thought it might be nice to look back at some of the devices, because DC was on the show last week and we were looking at tech trends. And the consensus from the pair of us was that it was very much a software year.
Yeah.
AI being slapped onto and into everything.
Yeah.
And I relayed that Pat Kenny had said to me that, you know, there wasn't really one gadget of the year. Do you remember a few years ago when there was just all the hype about whether it was a particular phone,
yes,
whether it was the year of the PlayStation and nobody could get them? I don't know necessarily that 2024 did have one gadget.
No.
That everyone was pining for.
No, you're right. Like, there was no huge significant upgrades to the iPhone, which is kind of the go-to gadget for most listeners. Mm. And then console-wise, we did have the PS5 Pro, which launched there a couple of months ago. And that, you know, was very niche, very powerful and all that jazz. But again, it wasn't people aren't going to be clambering to pick that up this Christmas either. Mm. So yeah, nothing as of right now off the top of my head that I think is like, that was the big one for this year, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. But what we're going to do is we're going to run through, I gave you sort of, give me your favourites of the year.
Yeah.
So we're going to run through and we're going to see how many that we match up on.
Okay.
And I'd love to know your thoughts as well. So you can email techtalk@newstalk.com if you agree, disagree, or have something else that should be in the mix as well. So let's start with your favourite phone of the year. And I don't mean one of the foldable, flippable,
yeah,
really cool standout ones. Just the standard in the paw phone.
Yeah, so there's been some really good phones that came out this year. Obviously, Samsung usually kicks it off in January with their S line. So there was the S24, mm-hmm. and then we moved into kind of the more kind of the Asian brands. Honor were coming in with their different options. And then we had Pixel coming, kind of jumping everyone to the, or Google with their Pixel line, beating Apple to the punch, should mm-hmm. I say, with their 9 series. And I know we spoke about it back when they launched in August, which is quite a significant jump from their usual October release. And like, we know, you know, I know we're big Pixel fans, just, you know, in terms of like the Android version of Apple, these phones will give you kind of the cleanest, most user-friendly experience when you come to an Android phone. I've never really been an Apple user, so... The Pixel 9 Pro and its larger XL model came out there in August, along with the normal Pixel 9 and the folding Pixel 9. All those came out, 4 handsets. But for me and my current phone at the moment now is the Pixel 9 Pro XL, which is just an all-rounder, just knocks it out of the park every time I take a photo on it. And people, I hand the camera... or hand the phone to someone to take a photo, they're like, that's a really good camera.
Yeah.
And they have no idea. They're like, is that a G? They still don't know. They'd recognize an iPhone, obviously, and maybe a Samsung, but when they see the different camera bar on the back, or they see the G, the Google G on the back, they're like, is that a Pixel? Sometimes they'll say it. And yeah, it's just an incredibly user-friendly phone.
I think this is one of the best kept secrets in the world of consumer tech. So obviously people like us know about it. We're in the know. But the exact same thing happened to me at the Radio Awards. I was taking loads of photographs and people were like, oh my God, like what did you take that on? Yep. Did you have a ring light? Did you have, like what was the situation? And it's like, no, it's just a true point and shoot and it's fab. So my favorite phone, I'm not using the XL version, yes. but I am using the Pixel 9 Pro.
Yep. Smaller.
I just find it easier in the hand.
Yeah.
I used to have the iPhone 14 Pro Max.
That's a beast, yeah.
It's like having a tablet. And I loved it when I was watching movies.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're trying to send a text one-handed, it's not practical.
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, we're in agreement. The Pixel 9 Pro and then the Pro XL in your case.
One. Yeah, exactly.
Are our favourite phones of the year. When it comes to the foldable phone, now, I didn't quite get the foldable phone hype as much.
Yeah.
You did, I don't think.
Like, there was obviously, we had the Z6 came out from Samsung. They've kind of led the charge ever since the very first folding phone, really. They kind of introduced the whole market or the whole new section of the market. And all the other brands were like, we need to jump onto this. This mm-hmm. is the next, this is the way technology is going. It's a way of proving kind of technology superiority. So Google joined the fray with their, or in terms of, they entered the race last year with their first ever folding phone, and now the Pixel 9 Pro Fold launched there back in August, as I said, and that came to the Irish market for the first time. So it was a really impressive piece of kit, but I still wanted the bells and whistles of the XL model I just mentioned. But actually the one that I really think is the standout one in terms of tech, just bleeding edge innovation and engineering and everything else, is Honor's new Magic V3.
Yeah.
I think we spoke about the V2 earlier on in this year, you know, back at the start of this year, if I recall correctly, but the V3 has just kind of made its way to Ireland. I think Harvey Norman have it, and it's just insane what they've packed in here. This is a year on from the V2, and it's just like the fact they can get a phone of this thickness to fold in half and still be almost as thin as an iPhone 16 Pro Max, way less, and you got a folding screen on the inside. It's just kind of really showing it to the likes of Samsung and even Google, who did do quite a significant upgrade over last year's folding device. They still have a lot of way to go to catch up to what Honor are doing with their own folding phones.
Yeah, I remember you arranged for the V2 to come in.
Yeah.
And I had to play around with it. And you said the word engineering there. That's what jumps out at me. It wasn't just the functionality of it, but it was the design of it. And it was, to me, it looked like it was two credit cards when it was completely folded flat, and then you fold it together and it still wasn't as thick as a phone with a cover on it.
Yeah, with a cover, exactly, yeah. It was just, you know, I've been playing with it for a few weeks now, and we're going to have the review on the site very soon. But even still, just the upgrade from the V2 alone, the fact that they've made the battery bigger, the camera's better, reverse or wireless charging, all these things you'd expect on a flagship normal phone, for want of a better term. Mm-hmm. But now it's foldable too, and the battery life, as so far, has been fantastic. It's just a huge battery inside, and like, it's so good to see this competition come into the Irish market. I've always said it, more competition is better for the consumer, and when you've got more folding phone options out in the market here in Ireland, for the size of the country we are, it's still great to have that that choice and that kind of the variability and what ecosystems you want to go into. So now you have Pixel, you've got Samsung, now you've got Honor, and then OnePlus have their devices you can get online. So there's so many different choices for people that want the cutting edge of smartphone technology. And you're not making much compromise with this, with the Honor, as you said. It's so thin, it feels like a normal phone when you're using it closed. Yeah.
I'm interested to see what happens in the Irish mobile market next year and beyond, because anyone who's listening to me on the Pat Kenny Show will know that I'm always encouraging people to go to one of the digital mobile networks.
Yeah.
So pay your 15 quid, buy your phone outright and just go from there. But I do wonder if we're seeing a slowdown in people chasing the latest and greatest phones.
Yeah.
You know, are people keeping their phones for longer, or if and when they are upgrading, are they going down the refurbished route? Because there's such value to be had in the refurbished market.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think it's a case, phones have been getting so good for so long that it's starting to kind of the diminishing returns. Like people go, my screen can't get any clearer. And I know I've said this before, my camera, could potentially get better. Battery, yes. But in the grand scheme of things, these are expensive purchases. These are like long-term investments that you're going to pay for. If you want to get the latest iPhone or the Samsung or the Pixel, whatever it may be, you want to hold on to that for as long as possible. And we see that with the manufacturers kind of playing the sustainability card, which is all well and good because they don't necessarily want to be seen to be forcing people to have to upgrade every year, because you've got Pixel announcing 7 years of operating system updates. Yeah. So you can if you pick up the latest Pixel now or the latest Samsung, they've promised 7 years that you'll get the security features and you'll get the latest like Android version features, Android whatever it may be, 17, 18, 19, 20, all the way up to 20. Mm. So that is a kind of it's a win for the consumer that you're not going to be 3 years time, you're going to be like, my device isn't getting the latest features now, I'm going to have to, because Apple have kind of been doing it for a long time, whereas iOS was really favorable to the older models. So now we can see Android getting into that race. And so people just aren't upgrading as much. Simple as that.
Yeah, I think, if I was to go out and buy a phone in the morning, I probably would go for, and I used iPhone for quite a while, and it was actually the Pixel 9 Pro that made me move back to the Google ecosystem. But I think if I was going out tomorrow with my cash, I would invest in a Google Pixel device, because I do think it's an investment for all the reasons you just outlined there.
Yeah.
And I also think the whole ecosystem just works, like from the wearables to the Google smart home stuff. Now, obviously, it works with other phones as well. But I can finally see, I used to scoff when we'd be at press conferences and, the spokesperson would be like, our ecosystem. And you're like, oh, what a joke. But I'm actually seeing what they meant now, because it all just flows so well. Yep. You're not screaming at the TV trying to get a video from your phone onto the telly. It's all just seamless.
It makes sense. Yeah.
So, I'm a big fan. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to look at the best wearable of 2024. Welcome back to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. We are running through the favourites of 2024. John Riley of TheEffect.net is still with me. John, wearables... I'll tell you my story in a second, but you go first. What's your favorite wearable of the year?
Yeah, so I'm keeping in that ecosystem, the word you love, with the Pixel devices. So Pixel Watch 3 came out back in August along with all the other Pixel devices, and thankfully this for the third time lucky they increased the size of device. It comes in two options now. Mm. So I was always a fan of a larger screen on a smartwatch. The Pixel Watch 3 has a nice 45 millimeter, kind of as big as you're going to get really on a smartwatch, a mainstream smartwatch. And I was just delighted to see, and I've always been a fan of the Pixel Watch design, like a little kind of shiny pebble. And they've minimized the bezels as well, so it's not as kind of chunky round. There's more screen basically, and it's bigger, so I was happier all around. I have it on me now. I bought myself a nice little stainless steel kind
of, looks like a normal watch.
Yeah, and again, people go, that's a nice watch, and I was like, oh, they're like, that's a smartwatch. So again, just that just looks cleaner, doesn't look as square as maybe, or as an Apple Watch obviously, which is more obviously a smartwatch, but it just looks more like a normal watch. And I have like a normal, again, face on it, so when you do look at it quickly, it looks like just hands on a clock, as opposed to a digital face. So all of that come together. Look, at when it comes to wearables, a lot of people do get the fitness benefits out of them, and just the tracking for your runs, whatever. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not tracking.
Lie, John. Lie.
No, I'm not in. That is not me to lie to you. But I do appreciate the step tracking, because I walk a lot, and I'm not wearing this to bed now, unfortunately, because it's a bit too chunky. But people can benefit from the sleep tracking as well. It's got Fitbit built in, because Google acquired Fitbit. It's got all those benefits working towards it, and then the battery life is kind of definitely an improvement given the larger size, obviously. Mm-hmm. So all in all, I'm locked in on Pixel Watch as well. Again, the usability, just the friendliness, like I have a Google Nest yes. doorbell at home. Someone rings my doorbell now at home, I can see them up on my watch and without taking out my phone. I can talk back to them going, you can leave the package in the green bin mm-hmm. on the watch, and I can go back to whatever I was doing. I don't have to take out the phone, open the app, go into the camera. It's all done on the watch. So that is like...
This is where the ecosystem makes sense,
yeah,
right?
It just works. Yeah, they all talk to each other nice and easy, yeah.
Yeah, I have to say, the design, the point that you made out of the screen, it's ever so slightly elevated in the middle.
Yeah.
And it does look like, you know, again, it's not cumbersome. If you've never seen it, it just looks like a normal watch. And you can configure the face in whatever way you want to have it. You can get the different straps. I have to say, I agree. I was reluctant to move away from my iPhone because I was such a slave to the Apple Watch.
Yeah.
Loved the Apple Watch in terms of fitness and just movement tracking and stuff like that. But the Pixel Watch 3, again, I would completely agree. But I have moved away from all wearables.
I can see that.
I have a normal watch.
What happened?
I don't have a smart ring. I have nothing on my handies. I just found that I was doing something that I absolutely hate, which is checking my emails on the watch.
Yeah.
It's not good for that always on.
Just everything.
Mentality.
Yeah. And it's yes, that's a good point, because sometimes something will come in and I'll acknowledge it on the watch and I'll be like, where did I even see that?
Yeah.
It's almost like you're just automatically feeling the vibration on your wrist, looking, going, oh, I have to do that. And you kind of go back and go, wait a minute, why am I stressed? And it's like you've been flagged something that you have to work on,
yeah.
even without even knowing you looked at it. Kind of, it's that subconscious level of like, oh crap, more work or
it's
more whatever.
There. Yeah. So I have made the decision for the next little while anyway, I'm going to just walk away from the wearables. Now, that being said, I still do love the Google Pixel Watch 3, but it's quite freeing to not have anything.
Yeah.
Now, I am worried about my steps not being counted.
Oh yeah, your phone would be doing it, but you don't bring your phone everywhere,
no,
do you?
No, not everywhere. Yeah. And I obviously haven't been running as much in the last little while, so that hasn't been an issue. But I just think sometimes it's nice to walk away.
I guess, yeah, I've been 10 years wearing some form of smartwatch, and it's just I've always been a fan of just having that quick access to like WhatsApps and stuff to be like, all right, okay, they're just chatting crap.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So, but again, when it comes to the more business content, like for work, I'm like, okay, this is kind of bringing me down. I need to turn these notifications off, sort of thing. Yeah.
I just think maybe most people have it down in terms of, you know, it's a habitual thing.
Yeah.
So, but I'm the kind of person that if I sit down on the couch, I'll open the phone and without even realizing it, I'll have checked my email, my Teams, my Instagram, my WhatsApp, my X, my whatever. And you just do it muscle memory.
Yeah.
Your thumb is just
scary.
And so I didn't like having that on the watch. And, you know, particularly around the election, things were busy in here. I was checking emails at all times of the day. And I was like, do you know what? No.
Yeah.
But the other wearable that I wanted to give a mention to was the Samsung Ring.
Yes, the Galaxy Ring. Yeah.
I was impressed by it.
Yep.
I didn't love the look of it. Like, I didn't think it was the cutest thing to have on.
Yeah.
But in terms of the tracking and the functionality and all the rest, I thought it did quite well.
Yeah. And like, I was kind of going, who needs this? And then the more I used it, obviously, when I'm going to bed, wearing it to bed, I was really curious because my sleep hasn't been great the last while. And I was like, what is going on? So I was like, I wasn't wearing this kind of large Pixel watch with the metal strap to bed, and I wasn't swapping it out for the silicon strap, first world problems. So I was like, let's try this Galaxy Ring. And I was like, God, that's really good. And it's just like, you forget it's there.
Yeah.
And like, it'll automatically track your steps, and the battery lasts about 7 days. Now, saying that, unfortunately, something's happened to my review unit and the battery's died to death. So I'll have to, Samsung, you're learning this now.
Yeah.
I'll have to flag to you that whatever, and I've seen issues online. So just a caveat, just in case people are curious, but it worked for the first week and it was great. But I just don't know if there's an issue now with an update that the battery is kind of gone a bit wayside or gone by the wayside. But yeah, it was really intuitive. And like, I know it was a bit on the chunky side for some people.
It was just that it was black and it looked like I kind of had, you know, the tape that you used to put like your football socks around your...
I went silver. I asked for silver. But Jack,
I didn't know we could ask.
I know. Look, if you don't ask, you don't get. But
oh, notions. Well, they took my one back. So my one is gone. But I have to say, I was very much impressed by it.
Yeah.
And particularly in that period where I didn't want the smartwatch to be able to get the
that's
steps,
exactly. For people that don't want,
stuff.
yeah, Exactly. It's perfect for those people, yeah.
Right. So that was a meandering conversation about wearables. Your favourite console of the year?
Yeah, I know we kind of talked about it at the top that there wasn't huge console launches. Well, you know, there was a significant one for Sony to kind of re-enter the console race or kind of reintroduced a new, more powerful PS5 that came out, the PS5 Pro, a niche product for a niche audience, as I think I said to you previously, yep. But something that really is, you know, right up my street because I never want to kind of venture into the PC realm of gaming because that's a whole other kind of money pit. Where you're kind of upgrading your graphics cards, upgrading everything really, your
accessories, your
SSDs,
yeah.
your access, everything, yeah. and you need a monitor. And I know you can all that stuff. I was like, no thanks, I want just plug and play. And the PS5 Pro basically gives you a PC performance for a home console. So, yeah. you know, I think we talked about it back when it came out originally. I've been using it since its launch, and titles are continuously getting updates and tweaks and features to make the most of this new console. So it's only going to get better. Mm. I still think there's a lot to you know, a long ways to go for them to really get the power out of it, like any new console.
Yeah.
We're 4 years into the current generation with the PS5 and the Xbox Series X, and games are already looking better. You know, installments in franchises are getting better every year because they're learning how to get the most out of these consoles.
Yeah.
And now with the PS5 Pro, they have their PlayStation Super Spectral Resolution, or yeah, I probably have that wrong, PSSR, and that's their AI implementation. As you said, AI is being slapped in there, but it really is to make the console smarter at pushing the graphics to your TV rather than brute force. Mm-hmm. So it's using AI to kind of read between the lines of different visuals and kind of tweaking them on the fly and giving you just a better visual experience for less brute force, as I said. So yeah, PS5 Pro, I'm loving it. I know, I think I said to you a while back, maybe before we came on air, that I got the Quest 3.
Yes.
I know that came out last year, but I picked it up for myself back in, I think it was February or maybe March this year. And yeah, loving that too. Like Batman came out there a couple of weeks back in October, I think it was. And that's like standout. That's just and that's all running on the headset. No plug-in wires,
yeah,
battery powered.
Fully wireless. Yeah.
Fully wireless. And you got your controllers in the box. And they came out with the Quest 3S.
Yes, that's the one we reviewed on the package.
More cost efficient, kind of cuts a few corners, but not in a negative way. Still the same power as the Quest 3 from last year, but a lot more just cost efficient and a lot more affordable for a lot of people. So yeah, I think they're doing a really good job. Meta, you have to hand it to them, creating these titles that you can only get on the Quest. And you know, Batman is a huge title, really successful, really popular, got rave reviews. So I'm happy to be in that ecosystem. I'm looking forward to seeing what's coming down the line.
Yeah, I think if, I don't know if it'll go on sale, but I think that's something that I might treat myself to in this.
Oh yeah, you should.
And you know me, I'm not the biggest VR fan, but when we had one for review as part of the Gadget Gift Guide on the Pat Kenny Show,
yeah,
I just loved it. And it's very intuitive.
Yeah.
And I didn't find it made me sick. I also, this is a silly thing, but I found the controllers really comfortable in the hand.
Yeah, they're really well designed,
like,
yeah.
They're very
they're not too
ergonomic.
Heavy.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. But you kind of, because even with the PSVR, I find that the second iteration, I don't know, again, if it's just a me thing, but if I'm not fully paying attention, I keep putting the wrong one in the wrong hand.
Yeah.
Again, I'm a dope.
You have to look on, yeah.
Which one is which? So yeah, that's on my wish list for sure.
Yeah.
Sticking with gaming, what is your favourite game of the year?
Yeah, so there's two, I guess. I know there should be one, but quickly, there's two. I don't know if we spoke about it back when it came out, Astrobot. Mm-hmm. This is basically the best way to summarise Astrobot on PS5, exclusive to PS5, is that it's like Mario for PlayStation.
Yeah.
Really cleverly, visually stunning, kind of cartoony graphics, made by Team Asobi. This little robot, he's blue and white, he's very cute, and you're just jumping around all these variety of different worlds and levels. Very heartwarming, just feel good. And the latest Astrobot title is like it's a love letter to PlayStation and the history of PlayStation, because you're basically going around saving these little characters that are all kind of designed off of some iconic PlayStation characters and other kind of third party game characters from the last 25 years or 30 years. Mm. So big fan of Astrobot. I think it got a shout out on the Little Toy Show. It was one of the titles that kind of got a bit of airtime, so that was good to see. And just recently it actually won Game of the Year at the Game Awards, which are basically they're like the Oscars. I think
we spoke about
it
last year.
Yeah. These are huge. I'm a huge nerd for these, because not only did they kind of showcase what games win, obviously, at awards, but they have lots of game reveals, exclusive world premieres, new games you've never seen before. So these are big it's a big night in gaming. It was on the 8th/9th of December there, Irish time. It was late in the morning, or early Friday morning. But yeah, I didn't expect, I knew it was a good game. It was up for Game of the Year and it won on the night. And everyone's like, well deserved, but they thought it was a tough race because there were some other big titles in there. So for me, PS5, Astrobot, family friendly, great title. If your kids have a PS5 and they haven't had the chance to pick it up yet, they'd love it. And then I guess very quickly, my very last one would be just brand new Indiana Jones and the Great Circle.
So Harry is playing this and talking about it. No,
isn't it great, Harry?
Stop. He said to me, he actually said, is your man John going to be in before Christmas? And I was like, yeah, why? And he's like, could I go in and just chat to him for a few minutes about Indiana Jones? And I'm like, no!
Where is Harry when you need him? Harry, I'll talk to you.
He said, so this is his review, right?
Yeah.
He told me lines to say to you about it. So I've just been ignoring him when he's playing. He said it is the closest game to movie thing.
It's crazy.
He actually used a better word than thing. But he said it's the best experience. You feel like you're in the movie.
Yeah.
And it is most enjoyable. He said he's never played so much of a title in such a short period of time.
Yeah, and it brings you back. It pulls you in. And like, we're all busy and I'm reviewing games all the time and some of them kind of go, oh, I'll get to that, or I haven't the time to commit and my brain needs to switch off. Yep. But I'm already looking forward to going home and playing this. That's, I don't know, like, I know how the Machine Games are the developer. They made a series called Wolfenstein, kind of tongue-in-cheek Nazi, kind of, you know, fighting Nazis, and it's all a bit of crack and the visuals were very good. But now they've come out with this kind of Xbox/PC exclusive for now. It will come to PS5, just as an FYI for listeners in the new year. Mm-hmm. But right now you can get it on Xbox or on PC. And yeah, like, it's, as Harry said, I think it's the best. I don't know what the term you're trying to think of, or what he might have said is that it's like you're playing the movie. It's the best kind of transition from 2D to 3D, and like your immersion or immersive. Oh, that's not even a word. But
you feel like you're immersed in the world,
yes.
And it is the most realistic game from movie to game transition.
You're fully just given the control of Indiana Jones, and you're wandering around Vatican City, and you're kind of exploring little nooks and crannies and hidden chambers, and you just feel like you are in a movie, and you're allowed to even though there is a solid plot there, there's a full, like, almost as good as the original trilogy, not as good as, you know, or much better than the most recent Indiana Jones games, as people have been saying online, as I've been seeing. But yeah, it's just, they've done a fantastic job. It's got rave reviews. It just missed the Game Awards. I think it would have been a really strong contender for this year's Game Awards, but I can totally see where Harry's coming from. So I'm there with you, Harry. With you.
So two nerds, thumbs up to Indiana Jones and The Great Circle. And my last question for you is, what was your favourite tech find of the year? And this could be anything, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a gadget. It could be a platform, it could be an app, it could be anything in the world.
Yeah.
What is your number one tech find?
Well, not only games, tech, big fan, but also just movies, watching kind of the newest releases and even kind of blockbuster AAA game or titles like series and shows. So there's a website I use called when2stream.com.
Okay.
So it's pretty straightforward. It's an aggregator of release dates for new movies, and I think they do shows. I should know this. I think it's just movies for now. And they moved from X/Twitter to Blue Sky, which is obviously just another social platform. They're only on Blue Sky, and I jump on there nearly every day just briefly to go, what new titles have been launched on, say, iTunes, or what new titles are launching on Netflix next week? And then I'm even a bigger nerd. I have my own little note on my Google Keep note that keep track of every date for every launch. Such a dose.
So when2stream.com, and it's all just there.
It just tells you when the movies are coming, when they're coming, and you go, right, I'll add that to the list. I want to watch that. And if it's coming out December, it's, you know, Christmas Day, there's a movie coming out, I'll go back to my list going, that's out now, I can watch that on iTunes, or I can watch it on Netflix.
Okay, well, that's a great little rec. I hadn't heard of that, so that'll be bookmarked now.
Really handy.
Okay, went2stream.com. Right, if you want to hear or read more from John, you can head over to theeffect.net. John, thank you so much. Have a lovely Christmas.
Same to you.
And I'll get you to do this all again now in 2025. Thank you so much.
Can't wait. Cheers.